on clearing the clutter inside and out, we're talking about everyday enlightenment. What spiritual commandments do you live by? Would you like to learn everyday principles to put into action? Curious about the principles your host lives by to declutter her life? Learn the way of everyday enlightenment as we continue our month focusing on lifestyles. Are you ready to clear your clutter and share your gifts with the world? Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., join me on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out as I teach you how to navigate the waters to declutter your life, get organized, and become more mindful. I'm an award-winning professional organizer, author, and certified life coach, and I destroy the box and examine clutter in all areas. Every episode, I'll give you take action steps that you can easily apply to your life. Come on, let's get started. As I was putting together this month, I thought, well, a lot of the other episodes are kind of focusing on the physical. There is this thread, I believe, of happiness, peace of mind, which is very important. That's why we want to clear our clutter. But I wanted to do something a little bit differently that focuses on the spiritual, this I would also say mental, emotional life. Our clutter's on the inside too, and our inner life deserves as much attention as our outer life. I was at first going to do this episode on The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. That's a book by Dan Millman that I think is really great. And I went to my bookcase and I don't have the book. So if you've borrowed the book, please return it. I did, however, have his book, Everyday Enlightenment. And then I thought, well, this is kind of just going to be a book review. That's really what I don't want to do. I walk my talk and I just gave a presentation. I was really excited. I gave a presentation to a corporation and they chose How to Declutter Your Life. I was like, ah, I'm so excited, because a lot of times a corporation is going to choose something like the nuts and bolts of organizing, productivity, something kind of dry. And it was a great presentation. People participated. I was really excited. I thought, well, why don't I share the principles of how I live my life? While I'm taking a break from my studies, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. I'm really focusing on practicing what I've learned and trying to apply it every single day. I'm that work in progress, always hoping to go up that spiral. I also know when I'm ready to learn more, the teacher will appear. I also honor and respect that I needed a break. I've done a lot of intense study for almost 4 years. As I was putting this episode together, I thought, can I even come up with five principles that I live by? And then they just all started pouring out of me. So I came up with Julie's Top 10 Everyday Enlightenment, My Spiritual Lifestyle. Of course, at the bedrock is increasing my awareness and then taking action. I practice what I preach, folks. That's the only way I'm going to change my life. And of course, all of this is subject to change, so perhaps I'll do another episode down the road. When I do these practices, recognize and honor them, I have more peace in my life. I'm happier. If I fall off, and I do fall off, I get back up. This is also fluid. I don't wake up reciting these. Someone screams at me, stop, take a deep breath. Okay, remember. The more I practice them, the more ingrained they become into me, and so it's my automatic reaction. So here are my Top 10 Julie's Everyday Enlightenment. Number one, what others do and say is about them. How I respond is about me. This was a huge one for me. I got this from reading a few books, primarily The Four Agreements. Talk about an aha moment. This is something I wish I would have learned ages ago. So, for example, when someone is unkind to me, zero to do with me. And you might say, okay, Julie, let's turn the tables here. What if you were super duper unkind to someone? Then it would be okay for a person to react. Still applies. We had a relative visit over Thanksgiving who was horrible to me. I consciously chose not to come down to that level. Trust me, there were tons of things I could have done. I chose not to. I didn't want to drop down to her level. I was more concerned about me. How am I responding? How am I reacting? So we take that focus because that makes us a victim when it's all on the other person. So we bring the focus back to us. How am I responding? What does that say about me? We waste so much energy about what everyone else is doing when we could be using that to improve ourselves. So when people are stinky, I always bring it back. What others are doing and saying is about them. How I respond is about me. Am I responding the way I'd like to? What wound is there that needs to be healed? Because we're all coming from our wounds. This is a gift. This is an opportunity. What can I do to clear it to heal? Am I worrying about what others do and say? Or am I more focused on me? How am I responding? Am I responding the way I'd like to in most situations? Where do I have knee-jerk reactions when I respond? Number two, where the attention goes, the energy flows. Simply put, what I focus on expands. Prior to meeting Tony, my husband, I really wanted to meet someone. I got married later in life, and you know, it's harder for women. Guys, you can be single forever, and you won't be asked at the holidays, when are you finding someone? When are you getting married? When are you meeting someone? Prior to meeting Tony, I was focusing on, I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. Where is a man? So I was focusing on the negative aspects that I was avoid, that the absence of a man. So guess what the universe kept giving me? And then true story, 2 weeks before I met Tony, a couple things happened and the lawnmower went out. I actually really enjoy mowing the lawn. So the lawnmower went out and I had a meltdown. It just was like, I'm alone. I'm never going to find anyone. And I have a good buddy, Vince, who is my guy sounding board. And he just said, you know, you just have to let it go. I had a good talk with him. And I just was like, you know what? I just can't spend my time worrying about this. I'm either going to meet someone or not. I have no control over that. I can only control how I respond. See, I'm tying it all together here. I let it go. And literally 2 weeks later, I met Tony. True story. Because I just was like, what am I going to do? And I met him at a meetup. Meetup is very popular where I live in Raleigh. And it was a 30, 40s, and 50s group. Not a singles group. I didn't want to do that. And we were married within 11 months. So all I can say is if you're out there struggling and single, put your focus on you. How can you improve yourself? Go out and live your life. And that's just one example. But where the attention goes, the energy flows. What are you focusing on? Number three, progress, not perfection. I've learned a couple things in my studies. First of all, I'm a recovering perfectionist, and that is no way to live your life. And I'm going to say something here that might sound contradictory, and it really isn't. I am perfect just the way I am, and it's not about being perfect, because I'm never going to be quote-unquote perfect. It's about continually making myself better. It's about continually moving forward. I used to see life as this linear, like a straight line across, that I would go from A to B. And that's how we're taught, especially in this very physical 3D world. If I do A, it will get B. And what I've learned in the spiritual world doesn't quite work that way. It's more of a spiral. So sometimes I'm going up the spiral, preferably more up than not. And then sometimes I fall down. And it's this never-ending progress. Again, I used to think I'm going to end up somewhere. Now, I'm still kind of figuring out. I have very interesting beliefs about what happens when we die and multiple lifetimes and all this really interesting stuff. And perhaps I'll get to the place someday where I've reached a certain point in enlightenment, and then I won't have to come down to earth anymore and be in a 3D physical. What I focus on now is, am I improving? Am I moving forward? It's not about perfection. It's not about being perfect. And again, this serves kind of like my first principle of a distraction. If I focus and waste all my energy about being perfect and getting everything right, and what are people going to think, blah, 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 that's spinning my wheels. That is focusing on out there instead of bringing back the focus within. Okay, let's celebrate the progress I have made. Be gentle with yourself. Everything in life is progress. When you make a mistake, you get back up. There's a great little clip from Nick Foles from the Super Bowl. He is the Eagles quarterback, if you don't watch football, and he had the best play of the game is when he's on a trick play, he scored a touchdown. He was the backup quarterback. He was a quarterback for Philly, and then they brought in Carson Wentz, and he's now backup. Anyway, this guy's just got a fabulous attitude about life, and he talked about making mistakes. We all make mistakes, and if you don't, you don't learn. You're able to move forward. If you're able to watch the clip, it's probably 2 or 3 minutes long, but this is a guy who, Philly's a tough place to be a pro player, and they are a tough crowd, a tough audience. And so he was backup, and he led his team to win the Super Bowl and become MVP, but he kept grounded and kept moving forward. Number four, observe without judgment. A really good thing to learn. Think of your higher self, your sovereign self. How I view this is I might have my physical body and I'm taking the spirit out. Can I stand back and observe? Not only me, observing myself without judgment, because remember, when we judge ourselves, we're judging another. I am way better about this. I used to be one of the most judgmental people that I knew. But again, I love that part of me. I love that that's how I was coming from my wounds. How can I be upset with myself when I didn't even know any better? So what can you observe without judgment? Okay, let's see. I got in a fight with my husband. And actually, really, this is just an example. Tony and I I think it's because getting married later in life, are able to not scream and yell and have a conversation when we are upset. It's one of the things I truly value in my marriage. So anyway, get in a fight with your husband or your wife, your spouse, your partner, and you go and you inhale a pint of Ben and Jerry's. I do this, just not with Tony. I'm an emotional eater, and I know that it's coming from wounds. I can take a step back. Oh, I ate a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Let's stop for a second. Why was that? Oh, because I got in a fight with my spouse. Okay. Well, what can we do the next time we have a trigger so we don't automatically eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's? All right, well, let me see if I can have an accountability partner. Oh, breathing. That's a good one. Let me take 10 deep breaths. Now, how is that? That's kind of observing, you're neutral. That benefits you. The other way, judgment doesn't. OMG, I can't believe it. I just plowed through another pint of Ben and Jerry's. What is wrong with me? I'm such a loser. Every time that I do this, I just eat a pint. I'm just a fat cow. I'm never going to change. My husband hates me, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes you go downward in that spiral, and it's like you can't stop. Again, because it's so many times autopilot. And you just beat yourself up, and it becomes ingrained in you. I belong to a Facebook group, and I can't remember if I shared this on another episode. I shared it when I gave the talk because I thought it was a really good example. And I'm on this Facebook group, and there's this woman, and she always complained. She's always a woe is me. And she was saying, I don't want to get the Sunday paper anymore. It's too expensive. And so people were giving her options, like go digital. And then someone wrote this really eloquent thing saying, you know, the papers need to be able to charge that. So they have this paper had a really good investigative journal component. And so she said, you know, they need the money, and wasn't a slam against the woman at all. She was giving a perspective on why the newspaper would charge so much. So the woman's response was, I'm a loser. Nothing to do with it. And I was really proud of the woman because she called her out. She said, my post had nothing to do with that. And it's fascinating to watch when people enable, because a lot of people enable this woman, oh, poor you. And like the other woman who called her out and said, I'm not having that. This, you know, that's on you. Goes back to what others do and say is about you. So social media is a great place to practice it. Start observing. Start watching social media. See what you can learn from people. And that's probably an automatic response with this woman. I've seen enough of her posts to know, because she's tried to be positive once or twice, and I don't know how to describe it to you. You can just feel like she's struggling to do it. She's going against the grain. So in that second example of when I'm so judgmental and mean to myself, what does that accomplish? That focuses me on being negative, and I'm not coming up with a way to improve my life. So figure out how you can pull back and observe without judgment. Number five, I can control my thoughts, my actions, and my words. That's it. Now, I have to admit, if you ever hang out with me and the Steelers are playing, I think that I have control over the game, and I will stand up and put my hands up and put a force field and do all these crazy things. My husband had never seen me, he's not a football fan, had never seen me fully crazy on a Steelers fan. The night we met, we went bowling, and then people went out to eat afterwards. And there was a TV show on the Mountaineers. I'm from West Virginia, so Mountaineers were on. And I was really proud of myself. I behaved very well, but it was hard not to scream and shout and dance around. And one night, there was this great game against the Bengals. Yeah, it was the Bengals like 3 or 4 years ago. And the Steelers should not have won. They had a player who just was an idiot and had a personal foul, and the Steelers ended up winning the game. It was crazy. So he came in on the tail end of it, and I'm up running around, you know, putting my force field up, just being a nut job. And he got amusement out of that. And I thought, we're going to be okay if he can deal with that. So as I joke about this, I think I can control it, but I know I really can't. And so I'm also a recovering control freak. I share all this, guys, because with a lot of work and effort, I'm happy. Life's pretty good. Not perfect, pretty good, but it's because I've worked on myself and I've had all these issues. So I'm telling you, no matter where you are in your life, you can change it. So then I focus on what I can control. I can't control when the neighbor acts like an idiot. I can't control when someone cuts me off in traffic. I can't control when someone's going to be mean to it, but I can control my actions and my thoughts and my words. And that's most important to me. And I know that I can control that. So that's where I focus putting the energy and the effort into. Where do you try to control things? I used to try to control everything, thinking that I had the power when I didn't. And again, all this stuff is coming from fear, coming from a wound. If I control this relationship, then I'll never be hurt. Well, you know, it doesn't work out that way. So where are you being controlling? What can you do to change that? Did your New Year's resolution, get organized and clear clutter, slip by the wayside? Are you tired of saying you will get organized and clear clutter, but it never happens? When was the last time you did a thorough spring cleaning? Would you like to save money and time while gaining peace of mind? My proven coaching, training, decluttering, and organizing tips can get you where you need to be quickly. Our Spring Cleaning Facebook Mastermind community can support you begins April 9th. Come on, join us. Number six, in every moment I have a choice. I'm choosing not to be a victim. I'm choosing to recognize that I have a choice. Doing nothing is a choice. I am working with a client now and she's struggling and I've given her all these options. She just doesn't want to make a choice, and that's okay. That is absolutely her choice not to make a choice. But just become aware. If you start to play the victim and come up with all these excuses why you can't do something or think you have no choice, because a lot of people do believe that. Bringing it back to number two, where the attention goes, the energy flows. You do have a choice. What are you choosing? I had a choice to lower my vibration to people that were unkind to me. I consciously chose not to. Now, if I'm on autopilot, I'm probably going to respond in an unkind way, but that's about being aware and putting it in action. So this line of, I don't have a choice, is not true. In every moment, you have a choice. What are you choosing? Number 7, I am good enough, I am worthy, and I am loved. I say this a lot. My friend Cole wrote a song, which is fantastic, and I'm hoping that she gets it up on iTunes, about this very subject. If you've been a longtime listener or viewer, you know I talk a lot about this. I believe personally and professionally, kind of all comes down to this. If we were thought we were good enough, we wouldn't need to compare. If we were believed we were worthy enough, we wouldn't have to fight or prove to someone, this is why you need to love me. And if we truly believed we were loved, and you can look at that from a perspective of something like God or the universe, or someone in your family, that one person, no matter what, that we have one person that loves us, then you'd realize, you know what, I am loved. I do not need to buy love from someone. I don't need to prove that I can be loved. I know that. For me, this is about learning this deep in your bones. You are good enough. You are worthy enough, and you are loved. Where do you not feel that way? How is that coming out in your actions? I mentioned a moment ago, if we thought we were good enough, we would compare with others. Where are you feeling not good enough, worthy enough, or loved? What actions can you do to move forward? Number 8, how can I be of service? I wake up every morning and ask this, how can I be of service today? Maybe it's giving someone a compliment or smiling at someone that looks like they need a smile, that maybe they're having a rough day. How can I be of service to the cats? How can I help them? How can I be of service to my husband? When you get in this frame of mind, when you come from this place, it makes it different because it's all about everyone else. It's all about the oneness. It's not all about you. How many people do we know that are so self-centered, you just want to roll your eyes and be like, OMG, get a clue, become more self-aware. I'm betting everyone listening or watching knows someone who's like that. Before I meet with a client, I ask, how can I be of service? And then I ask God, spirit, whatever you want to call it, the universe, work through me. What is it that my client needs to hear? How can I say something that works for them that they're able to hear it? How can you be of service? How can you support others? In what ways are you of service? Number 9, honor my emotion. I'm doing this right now. I literally, yesterday in the car, screamed, I yelled, I swore, I told people what I thought of them. Boy, did I feel good afterwards. I've got some stuck, stagnant energy, and it needs to move. Remember, emotions are just energy in motion. And we can get angry, be annoyed, and then be done with it. Have it pass through us, and then we can move forward. When we don't honor our emotions, then they become stuck. And they're going to find a time to come out anyway. Have you ever hung around someone, or maybe this happened to you, and if you're in the comfort of your own home, you can share it with yourself, where they've just reacted inappropriately, or it's just really weird, like maybe someone gets super angry about something, you're like, whoa, where's that coming from? Because it compared to the little thing that happened, but that's an example. If they're really angry about something and have just pushing that anger down and not dealing with it, it's going to come out. Boom, there it is. It said, I'm tired, I got to move, I'm stuck, and then I'm going to come out. So honor your emotions. There aren't bad emotions. I don't look at it that way. I don't view it. I try to get out of the duality of good and bad and not judge. So if you're upset, you're crying, you're frustrated, whatever it is, honor it and feel it. Feel it to move it forward and up and out. Don't get caught in judging yourself and I can't be angry about this or I can't be sad about this. Of course you can. There's no right or wrong with your emotions. Honor them. Do you need to honor any of your emotions right now? What emotions do you need to honor? What can you do to move forward and honor your emotions? And number 10, be present. The present moment is a gift. When I gave this talk at the corporation on how to declutter your life, this was one of my points. And it was, I was probably 10 or 15 minutes into the presentation. So I said, okay, guys, this is a gift. This is your point of power to change when you're in the present moment. So I said, how many of you here are thinking about something you should have said this morning? Maybe you got in an argument with your spouse, your kid annoyed you, or you're wondering if you crafted that email correctly. A couple people raise their hands. I always appreciate honesty. And then I said, how many of you are thinking about what you need to make for dinner tonight, or a meeting this afternoon, or a date you've got coming up this weekend? A few people raise their hands, and I said, okay, here I am giving you a presentation with lots of valuable information, and you're not fully present. And people shared with me afterwards, that was a wake-up call. That was a moment, noticing how present we aren't, because most of the times we aren't present. We're either in the past worrying, well, we can't control the past. That's done and said. It's move on. And that creates worry, and we have control over that, whether or not we're going to stew over something, woulda, coulda, shoulda. And being in the future causes anxiety. The future is written in pencil. There are so many things you have no control over. In this Facebook group again, someone was offered a job and was trying to decide what they should do. And this woman said, your company could go under, blah, 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 like this total pessimist, warning, Will Rogers. And I said to the woman, be present. You can't control any of this. Your company you're working with now could go under. You just never know. Here's an example. Say you are worried about retirement. Am I going to have enough retirement? And if you're focused on the past, oh my gosh, I haven't been contributing to my company's 401k. What am I going to do? All that money I wasted on Starbucks or whatever. What can you do in that moment? Nothing. You're focusing on the past. It's done. Why are you going to spend your energy beating yourself up because you didn't control your 401k? And if you are in the future, I'm not going to have enough to live. What am I going to do? I'm going to be homeless on the street. That's just spinning your wheels. That's just creating more anxiety for you. And a lot of times that's going to paralyze you. But if you're present, guess what? You can take action. That's your point of power to change. Okay, I'm really concerned about retirement. What can I do? I'm going to go down to HR today and sign up for my 401k program. I'm going to talk to my friend Sue because she's really good with money. I want to know, does she invest? What does she do for savings? I'm going to stop getting Starbucks every day and cut down to once a week. And with that savings, I'm going to put it in my retirement account. Boom. Just came up with three actions that you can do to save for retirement. That's your power. That's how you change your life. Be present. It's truly a gift. Where's my attention? Where's the energy focus? I did not include gratitude because that's going to be part of this month's bonus episode. So think of this month's bonus as what would be number 11 in today's Everyday Enlightenment episode. Take actions from today's podcast. What spiritual principles do you live by? Write them down and put them where you can see them. Record any practices from today that seem like they'd be a good fit. Examine your life. Is there any area that needs attention and might benefit from a spiritual principle? Practice everyday enlightenment. On our next episode, we're talking about finding the golden nugget. Go out, clear the clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. Are you ready to live a more joyful and fulfilling life? Sign up for our newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com and receive a free copy of 10 Steps to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love it if you would rate and review the show because it really helps us in the search ranking. See you next Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Remember, when you clear your clutter, you can create the life you desire.